Hello and welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy. Today is the 31st of January, 2024. It's a Wednesday as we record, coming up on 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mike Arace, back for another season. We actually recorded one a few weeks ago to get warmed up, and now with the crew in the midst of their preseason preparations, here we are. We're back. A lot to talk about today with our wonderful crew beat writer, Brianna McKay. And the other guy.
Yeah, I'm still here.
It's the striker, Kyle Robertson. And of course, at the controls, per usual, is Patrick the Podfather Flaherty. Okay, first, preseason schedule. Where are we, Brianna? When did they get here? Where are they now? Where are they going?
We're cold in Columbus, but they're down in Florida right now. Probably a little warmer. And they're
in Florida.
They're in
the seventh ring of hell, you know? That's why it's warm.
They're in their first leg down in Port St. Lucie in Florida. They should be coming back at the end of this week, and then they head out to California. So,
ooh.
Yeah, that's where their second leg is set to be.
Heading Tuesday, they head back to, they opened in Port St. Lucie on Tuesday, and they're back here at the end of this week. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then off the middle of next week to Santa Barbara, which was Kyle really loved that soap opera, Santa Barbara, which was... He's an aficionado of those kinds of shows.
I was named after a soap opera, one of the characters back in the...
Really?
Yeah, back in the early 80s. Yeah.
Are you happy about this?
No.
What was the character like?
I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you what show it was.
Was he a very laid-back photo editor?
So, I don't know. I'll have to ask my mom, but that's all I know.
Wow, soap opera. We know that Patrick Flaherty was named after a priest. Because
I mean, you have 8 kids. How'd you guys name all your kids?
Well,
we got a little time.
They're my wife's kids.
Did you have a say in any of the 8 names? Or did you get to like 2?
No, there were okay. There were discussions, right. Kyle. Bridget Mary Elizabeth Fitzgerald would say Sean, yeah. Ian, Seamus, Siobhan, and I'd come back with Miguelina, Pasquale, yeah. Gaetano. You have to.
Yeah.
And then you meet in the middle.
Yeah. My wife's a teacher, so like I would be like, hey, this is a great name. And she'd be like, no, that kid is a jerk. Like, no.
I think I've told this story on another podcast, but we got to the fourth one, and she said this is going to be my Irish boy. So I filled out the birth certificate. His legal name is Patrick James O. A. Race. It's Patty O'Rachi. It's a true fact. Anyway, I'll give out his social security number next week on this program. But thanks for joining us. So there's the preseason. They'll come back from Santa Barbara sometime around the third week of February, 17th, I believe it is. And then they're going to hit the ground running. They've got the season opener is Saturday, February 4th at home against Atlanta United. And after the semifinal matchup, that's a wonderful bit of scheduling, Brianna. Anything stick out? I know you've written the obligatory annual schedule story. What has stuck out to you?
I think, like you said, starting with Atlanta, that's going to be a big game. And then they go to Minnesota, and we had a actually little interesting thing. Christian Ramirez was talking about that to be his first time in Minnesota's new stadium and everything. So that's a little bit of a homecoming for him because he played there for a while. But yeah, I think the big game, I think in April, at the end of April, we got Laurent, who just went to Montreal. We got him coming back with Nancy's old team. He'll be here on Laurent April 27th.
Courtois, yes. And they're going to miss him. He's a wonderful coach, and he's going to do a great job in Montreal.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of a cool paradox, too, that he went to Nancy's old team.
Yep.
And then they're going to face each other. He'll be coming back in April.
I don't know if paradox is the right word.
I don't know.
I think coincidence. Perhaps,
yeah, I don't. I just went with it. It was the word that came to my mind, and
it's not even ironic. But
but no. And then May, end of May, we got Caleb Porter coming back too.
Oh, that's right, New England Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fans have picked up on this, but Caleb took the crews. They're strength and training coach, correct?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And, this year, they were much healthier than they were ever under Porter. I don't know how that factors in, but anyway, that's another interesting wrinkle. Do we know who the replacement is?
I haven't seen anything about it yet.
We'll get on that, and Brianna's probably going to be writing about that because that is an interesting angle to take. That they were relatively speaking so healthy last year, which is one reason why they marched to the 2023 MLS Cup.
I think they had to be ready for a lot of poaching. Like you won the MLS Cup and with a very new staff and everything. So I think they were kind of mentally prepared. I think they were surprised it's more hasn't happened yet.
I think more front office folks probably would have. You know, I would have thought probably would have left.
Well, Isatal had he had an interview in D.C. That was back in November, I think. And there were probably others that we were unaware of. They don't leak. They don't actually announce this stuff. And a lot goes on behind the scenes. In any case, it's going to be busy starting with the home opener Saturday, February 4th here at the lower.com field, the new Crew Stadium. They have CONCACAF Champions Cup. They have Leagues Cup. They have Campeones Cup and U.S. Open Cup. Now, just to get the bearings here, Champions Cup starts February 6th with round one matches. Those are basically play-ins. There's 11 of those matches. They'll pare the field down for the round of 16, and that's in March. Quarters and semis in April and May. And a single leg final on June the 2nd. The winner qualifies for the FIFA Club World Cup in 2025 with previous League Champions League winners, I should say. They cut the league out, but there's still a league. The winner of the Champions Cup also qualifies for the FIFA International Cup, which is. It's going to be played later this year. So the Crew, in terms of Champions Cup, they begin play in that tournament in the round of 16 against the winner of St. Louis City, Houston Dynamo. And that game against the winner of the St. Louis City, Houston Dynamo round one match will be March 12th here in the new Crew Stadium. As I said, the season opener is the February 4th for MLS play.
February 24th.
Right. And the Campeones Cup is usually in September, Kyle, if I remember.
Yeah, it was
early
later,
September.
Yeah, it was later in the season.
Yeah, and of course, it's a very meaningful trophy for...
Money trophy.
For the monies. And U.S. Open Cup gets started with round of 32, May 7th and 8th. So... that's where the Crew, the defending MLS Cup champions, that's when they jump into that particular tournament. So it's going to be, and Brianna, I'm sure it's a topic of conversation. It has been since the end of last season, the compression of their schedule, or at least the regularity of games on their schedule. It's going to be a pile. As we noted ad nauseum at the end of last year, LAFC, the team the Crew beat in the final, here in Columbus on December 9th, they played 53 games because they were defending MLS Cup champions. So that's how jammed their schedule is. So we're looking at 50 plus. And what are they saying about that? And how are they girding for that?
I think that everyone knows that they're going to have a lot of games. The whole team knows it. And they say they're ready. I think Christian Ramirez had a good point about it. Like, some people look back at seasons and be like, oh man, I didn't get an opportunity. It's going to be kind of hard not to get your opportunities in with 50 some odd games. Not everyone can play every game. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for a lot of different players and a lot of different looks in the lineup.
Especially the young guys too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see what who's going to move up and down from Crew too. Because there are, already one has signed a senior contract. That would be Taha Hebron.
Yeah, and he's their first one who's gone straight from academy to Crew 2 to Crew. So he's the first player they've had, like, just as a linear line.
And he's like with United States, with U.S. national team, too.
So. Yeah, he's played with the U.S. national team as well. He's
like 12 years old or something.
He's 16, I believe. 16 or 17.
Golly.
He's good.
And we should also mention here the League's Cup, the Miami Inters FC of here in Land.
It's called the Apple Cup. Like, this is like Apple TV Cup.
I said here and I meant Flamingos or the Apple TV Cup. Yes. Once again, that is in forevermore will be blocked out. The Crew will jump in into round of 32 at home against an opponent and date to be named. And that is the July 26th through August 25th. So the Crew won their group and was eliminated by Minnesota and Will Trapp in shocking fashion in the knockout stage. And Kyle has something. This just in, Kyle. What do we have?
You have the early groups for the West and the East. So it looks like
in League's Cup.
Yeah, League's Cup. Looks like three teams in each. There's eight little pods in the West and seven in the East, with the Crew and Club America getting buys into the round of 32.
Mm-hmm. And so that'd be dates and times to be to be announced. But as we mentioned, that's
breaking news. You need the dun 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 dun
dun dun dun. Cut that in there. That's really good. He's an excellent photographer. And again, that's the July 26th through August 25th. Moving right along here, and that was, if you remember, Miami was still alive in the U.S. Open Cup, and they were trying to make a push to get into the playoffs, climb from last place on the back of any number of Spaniards, including the former Barcelona player. They're not all Spaniards, but they all played together over there. Anyway, and they probably added five more. How many DPs does Miami have this year, Kyle?
I think six.
Is that the over-under?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm sure they'll add one or two.
You can FanDuel that with Gronk, too, right? With the over-under on Miami's designated players. But I digress. But they got ground down, and they basically had to say, we have no shot of getting back into this playoff race here, because they just got ground down by League's Cup. And I mean, they were playing like 3 days a week for like a month. It was insane.
Yeah, but they won their first trophy.
They did. And
the power of Messi.
We should. Kyle, there was a United States friendly earlier this month. Slovenia defeated the United States. But this, you know, January camp traditionally, Brianna, is for MLS players who are out of season and particularly young players that they want to get a grip on as they continue to. Berhalter's rolled any number of players. I mean, the number of guys who've debuted under Berhalter is crazy, and there's the talent pool continues to deepen, and that includes three Crew players who appeared.
Yeah, they all got starts too,
and they all played 90.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be Brianna. You can leave us.
Aiden Morris. We had Patrick Schulte and Sean Zawatsky.
Kyle, did you see the game?
No, I did not. Okay, so.
Schulte had a nice save. Yeah. I saw his. He had a really nice save.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Kyle's going to watch those highlights and report on our next podcast. Anyway, you know,
it's a good opportunity. Like, again, it's just, you know, even if it's the C team or the D team or whatever you want to call it, like, again, just putting on the jersey.
Yeah.
For a lot of those guys, and you know, a lot of, you know, core players have started. You know, and with that and doing the January camp and kind of moving up throughout the ranks.
It's an Olympic year, too.
Yeah.
They have the Olympics this year. And I know they were Patrick and Aiden both qualify with the age restrictions. And I know they were both talking about it. I know Patrick Schulte said he'd be honored if he got the chance to represent Team USA in the Olympics.
Might be a little
still
behind,
U23. But,
Yeah.
They don't. Sean doesn't. It doesn't qualify. Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess this can be told now. Brianna and I sat down with Tim Bezbachenko. That Q&A can be found at dispatch.com, as can all of Brianna's wonderful coverage. And she's cranking them out in between figure skating events. and she will be headed to Santa Barbara. But we sat down with Bez last month, Tim Bezbachenko, the president, general manager of the Columbus Crew. In a wide-ranging conversation, at one point he went off record and talked about how back then they, you know, you Berhalter had already reached out and said, you know, we want these three guys. And he asked him, Zawadzki was kind of a surprise if unless you watch him every day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a guy who didn't even start for this team, and he's in U.S. camp in this month, which is extraordinary.
If and you he don't, started.
Yeah. Now, Verhalter asked Vezhchenko, he said, well, you know, where does he play? He's a midfielder, right? Vez said, well, he'll play anywhere. He says, thing is, we used him at center back, among other positions. And he goes, he's not even a center back. He's never played a position, but his underlying numbers were as good as any center back in the league. So
it's crazy.
And so with that, it's a good to segue to a discussion about the roster, which will take up the rest of the show, I'm sure. Depending on what set of rosters you look at, like we looked at the CONCACAF Champions Cup roster, which has 23 on it.
Yeah.
You can submit 35 and then cut down to 23. I think it's 48 hours or 44 hours before the game. One interesting wrinkle there is and Brianna, why don't you read that roster? Well, well, this is the kind of international roster where
full names.
Where Cucho Hernandez isn't Cucho Hernandez. What's his name on this roster? Use all of them.
We have Juan Camilo Hernandez Suarez. Or did I have that?
Suarez Hernandez.
Suarez Hernandez. Well, I was reading left to right.
Anyway, that had 23 on it, which was curious because you can submit 35. And one little wrinkle of that was that Kevin Molino is not listed on that roster. I don't know why. I have a call in, but...
He's old. Bad knees.
Yeah, but still, you could put him on and take him off. It just seems curious.
I know.
And that was pointed out.
I just think maybe, you know, all the extra stuff, and that they probably made a choice on which stuff that they can do and which not, and they probably want to save him more for the MLS. But that's my thought.
Doesn't make any sense. It's like Yarmo roster handling.
Don't even start with Yarmo, man.
Okay. Goalkeepers, three on the roster now. Patrick Schulte, Evan Bush, who just re-upped, and Nicholas Hagen.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Hagen is...
Yeah, I know he's with their first free agent signing of this offseason. I've talked a little with Schulte about working with him. He said they've been working good together. They're getting to know each other and stuff, but he had high praises for him. He said he was connecting already well with him and Evan, so... He's just another, probably just depth and the goalkeeper.
Do you think he might be too, though? And Bush is more like the old man in the group and kind of helping and kind of like more of a coach.
There's no confirmation on that, but like how I view it too, because Bush is really kind of stepping into being that mentor for the new
playing
young
the role of Josh Williams this year is Evan Bush. They love the guy. They love him in the room. He's an utter pro, and he can still play at center back. Rudy Camacho, Yevhen Chiburko, Steven Marrero, Philip Quinton, Keegan Hughes, and Derek Jones. Is he fit as a center back or more of a midfielder?
Right now, it sounded like Nancy, when we were just first day back in training camp, he was saying that he wants to settle, just get him settled, focus more on midfielder. But it sounds like if they need him to, he can switch into that position. And, you know, Nancy's not afraid to move around parts. But right now, I think he's just focusing Jones in as a midfielder.
You know, not using him by name, but if you look at that Q&A, Vezhchenko does refer to adding more size in the back. And I think he was speaking specifically of Jones, who runs about 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, that's a big thing about him. He brings that size that they were looking for.
And Kyle, you've often remarked that when this team lines up for set pieces. They're Lilliputian.
So, I mean, you got to have a couple big guys back there. And, you know, I don't even know. What did they give up? Like 10 goals off of set pieces, and a lot of them were headers and other things. So, it's great to have wing backs that can go up and down and other guys, but you got to have some size there.
And there it is. Yep. At wing back, Yao Yeboah, Malte Amundsen, Mo Farsi. I should put Malte over at center back. he plays left center back normally, cross left to right, the three-man back line, Amundsen, Camacho, Moreira.
Did you forget Sands again?
No.
Okay.
No. I haven't gotten – Okay. I got stuck on Malte, but okay. Thanks for pointing out. Let me just say the whole starting team is back.
Yes.
So if you got Schulte in the net, right. Amundsen, Camacho, and Moreira left to right, Yeboah with Nagby and Morris in the central midfield, and then on the right wing back Mo Farsi, who's been a subject of some intrigue over this offseason.
Yes.
He keeps showing up like Zelig in different countries saying that he wants to negotiate a contract or something.
Yeah, but he was at camp day one. He was there working out.
That's because of the thing called a contract, you know?
Yeah.
Might be the agent's move there.
To
get some exposure, kind of put a little pressure on.
Yeah, everyone's at camp, but Moreira, who's doing great in the Africa Cup, right?
Yeah.
Cup of Nations. The Africa Cup of Nations.
Yes.
So yeah, he's doing great there.
Yeah, in fact, numerous articles about him and the fact that he's really lifted his country over there, and they're surprised to move out of the knockout stage, and a good wonderful run for him. Mm-hmm. So at wing back, Yeboah, Farsi, Will Sands, and
possibly
Marino Hinostroza.
Yeah.
Brianna, he's been described as a 7 or 11 who can come inside in Nancy's system. I think you're talking about wing backs there, although he's a guy who loves the ball on his foot and probably could be used up front as well.
Yeah, he has a lot of speed. I know that's a big thing, too. He can, he's, like I just said, fast, but I think he can really go in a bunch of different places wherever they need him. I think he can be another just very diverse player who can fill in a lot of different roles.
So is he the Zawadzki of the final third?
Possibly. Yeah. We got to see how he fits in too. You never know coming into this system too.
Yeah.
Touted as a one-on-one player. Mm-hmm. I think people are wondering, at least they've wondered aloud to me, left or right side. The way Bez described him last month was either, and Nancy is describing him similarly this month.
Yes, he was saying along the same line things that Bez was saying.
Okay. But I was just saying it's going to take some time. I mean, none of these young guys that they've brought in the past have ever came from like day one and like gone in. I mean, Yael Yeboah took some time. Diaz took some time. And even Matan, took a while. I mean, heck, he was – until Nancy came in, was a forgotten, part. So again, I think it's going to take some time to get used to it. I mean, he's not the, size isn't his thing too. So, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of adjusting, I think, on his end.
Now, I think we forget, given how swept up the city was in that title run last year, but we forget that and how impactful Yael Yeboah was. And Julian Gressel and Mo Farsi, as things went down the stretch, we forget that Will Sands had basically cemented the left wing back position early last season. Kyle, he's coming off an ACL. Brianna, your predecessor would have written three or four stories by now, and I know he's on your to do list when you get to California. How does he look? Have you talked to him yet? What is Wilfried Nancy saying about Will Sands?
We haven't talked to him, Will, in particular yet, but I have talked to Nancy about it, and he said that he was the first few days of practice, he was going to give him a little time to ease in, but he said he looked good to go, like back and participating in everything. Now, nothing's official that he's officially cleared or anything, but he was ready to ease him back in and get him going. It sounds like they're ready to have him back.
April 22nd was his injury.
Yeah. Now, Aiden Morris did virtually the same thing in ACL previously. And, the rule of thumb is it takes a whole year and then another span of time to get up to speed. But young Aiden Morris was a fairly quick recovery relative to what folks go through with ACLs. Although I think Kevin Molino's had like
four,
which is extraordinary.
That's why he's not on the roster.
Well, I'll tell you what, Crew fans are happy he was on the roster in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
anyway, he's You know, we hope the young heal quick, and Will Sands is part of the mix here.
But you have depth now that you don't need him. Like last year, they didn't really have anybody there when he went down.
Oh, they need him because they're going to play 100 games.
Well, yeah, I know. But still, like, they didn't – I mean – He's in a good spot to kind of take his time. He doesn't need to be rushed back.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
Central midfield, Darlington Nabi, Aiden Morris, Sean Zawadzki, and Taha Hebron. Of course, Zawadzki has an asterisk on my chart here because he could play anywhere in the center. Yeah. He could play as a wing back. He could play as a center
put
back.
Put him anywhere.
Yeah.
But his maybe he needs minutes.
He might be the trainer that they replace that they use now that they lost their trainer to Caleb Porter. So he's obviously working on Will Sands' rehab with him.
I mean, they all are close friends, so who knows?
Any notes?
No, Kyle, I just think you need hit.
Darlington Nagby got a new contract.
Yeah. But again, he's up there in age. You know, he's probably not going to play every single game. You know, you have the depth now to give him a Wednesday off or, you know what I mean? Kind of.
You also don't know what's going to happen with Aiden.
Right. Yeah. Aiden too.
Europe's on people's mind when it comes to Aiden.
He could be a summer transfer out.
Is Hebron, is he specifically, and I don't know this, I didn't watch enough Crew 2 games, is he specifically a central midfielder? His credentials at his age are incredible.
I think they have him all over the place, I think, depending upon matchups and everything, but I could be wrong.
Well, the coach we know loves players that he can move around. He loves multi-positional players. And up front, of course, Cucho Hernandez, if that's what you want to call him. I think he's... Or just Cucho, which is on the back of his jersey. Diego Rossi, Christian Ramirez. Brianna just did a wonderful piece on the championship run through the eyes of Christian Ramirez's wife. And she, of course, gave birth as soon as she waited for the Crew to beat Cincinnati and then for Christian to scream his way home. And they had their – how many children they have now?
They have three. They all love Cucho. They all love. That's a big thing.
Who doesn't love Cucho?
One of my favorite friendships are Cucho and Christian's. They're very funny. It was Cucho let everyone know that he gave Christian a Christmas gift when coming back to training camp, and it was his national team, his Columbia national team jersey. And he assured me that he signed it for Christian.
In case he forgot who gave it to him, right? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, get the autograph on there.
Jason Russell Rowe.
Again, I think a forgotten. Yeah. Like he was there ahead of Ramirez there for, you know.
Max Arfston of course, Kevin Molino. We can stick in a couple different positions as well. As noted, the whole starting team is back. They seem to have added depth. They're going to need all the depth they can get. Brianna, any final thoughts as you look ahead here?
Well, I thought it was interesting. One of the things Nancy said to me was they made those moves in the midseason last year, like during the season for this. Now he sounds very comfortable with this team. He likes who they have. He doesn't feel like they need to go add much more. Obviously, you can always add more, but he sounds very confident and very comfortable with this team. He likes this lineup. He likes who's coming back.
And he's not afraid to make moves, as we saw the last summer.
And also we're going to get these guys. Some of these guys haven't been in a Crew training camp yet. A lot of these guys who came midseason are getting their first feel of like a full preseason with the Crew. And I think that's going to be big too. They've already talked about it a little.
Well, that's about it for this edition. We left more on the table to talk about in the future. Brianna is packing her lotion, suntan, sunscreen. And
had to find some short sleeve shirts.
Yeah. And, Santa Barbara, she is bound for next week. Thank you for joining us. Please go to dispatch.com and check out not only Brianna's wonderful work. I recently wrote a column about the Crew's bump in valuation, according to Sportico. They're up to – they're valuated at $680 million now.
Crazy.
And that's 13th in the league of 29 now, 30 coming online next year. I think – is the correct number.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
They're a top 50 team in the world.
Yeah. Well, there's
value,
there's a bunch of MLS clubs. There's like 19 clubs in the top 50. And the reason, you know, as I kind of tried to lay out in my column, is that it's good to be a U.S. owner in any sport, really, because you have exclusive markets. There's no relegation. You have cost controls that don't exist elsewhere, and so on and on and on. You also have usually own your own stadium and training grounds. You know, your minor league teams add to the valuation. If you're so involved, so do NWSL teams, and so forth.
Well,
so
the Apple deal, too. That's probably a big one.
Yeah, that was a big one for the league. But, you know, prior to the Apple deal, there were a significant number of MLS teams in the top 50 as well. Yeah. And, of course, you add Messi, and now, you know, Miami is now the third highest valued team in the league.
What did Queso King buy the team for?
Austin is ahead of Columbus.
No, but like, what did he pay to buy it?
Okay, in 2014, he paid a then record $63 million. Oh, I want to say somewhere in there.
Wow.
And then of course, Don Garber extorted $150 million for Columbus to keep the team they already had. And now it's valued at $680 million. That's
awesome.
This is why rich people buy professional sports teams. And, you know, on a side note, the Jackets are like they're one of the lowest valued teams in the NHL, and they're like $880 million or something like that. So check that out at dispatch.com, as Kyle will insist, and rightly, all the wonderful galleries. So if you want to relive the championship game, the aftermath of the championship game, including the parade, it's all there at dispatch.com. Go over there, give us a few clicks. Patrick, the Podfather Flaherty, our producer, would appreciate it. For Brianna McKay, Kyle Robertson, the striker, and myself, thanks again. Patrick, kick us out of here.